Hello.
Hello, mate. Welcome to Carbis Quality Arms. My name's Honest Carbis. You can just call me Honest Cabs. Yes, Honest Cabs. what's your name, my scaly little friend? What's your name? Gumple. How can I help you? I've got the best bargains this side of the hive. What's that? You want a big gun?
Well, you want a bazooka. You're a little bit too small for a bazooka, mate. No, yeah. And look, you just missed out on the last gun deal. That was the other week.
What's this one I'm cleaning up now? Oh, mate, it's a bolt gun, Gumple. Otherwise known as a blaster. But it's a little bit too big for you, mate. Whoa, calm down, put the pea shooter away. I meant no disrespect. What's that you wanted, Gumple? Well, she's a heavy one, my tiny little friend. So unless you're one of those three-armed hooded purpley fellas, you know, the ones that try and give you a kiss in the shadows when the missus is away. No, I know nothing about that. You're not going to be holding it steady, mate. You're not going to be able to hold it. It's a big gun. You know, that's what it's a big gun. Like, you know, all right, I believe you. You can hold it. Okay, here you go. Have a hold. Well, don't drop the shotting thing. I told you it was heavy. No, mate. You've got to buy before you try. Okay? It feels good, though. Yeah, it feels good, though, doesn't it? Yeah. Honest Cabs never lies, mate. He never lies. Okay, now, here's the magazine. See the size of the bullets? They're special, mate. They're special armor-piercing explosive rounds. They're going to bust everyone apart. They're going to go straight through the armor, and once it's inside, boom, it explodes. Yeah. Well, if you can hit them, that is. I mean, can you shoot? Okay, point the gun somewhere else. I believe you. All right, okay. Look at you. Yeah, you look like one of those Astartes guys. Yeah, you look like a mini Astartes. Anyway, are you a pious little scabby, mate? You know, they say the God Emperor himself created this little beauty. Yeah, that's what they say. Okay, so you want to buy it? You get the bolt gun, mate, and I promise you, all your friends will take you seriously. It's loud, violent weapon with explosive death. You pull this out at the local bar, mate, and all those lovely Escher girls, they're going to love you. They're going to love you. They're going to kill you for it, obviously. They're going to take the bolt gun off you, so maybe don't go doing that. How much? Well, now, my little Gumple, let's get down to it. Honest Cabs, at your service.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Undive Law Keepers podcast. As always, I am Spamuel, and to my right, the machine gunning Manvin himself, Nathan.
How you going, matey?
Always good, baby, yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Just blasting with my machine gun.
It's good that you have new hobbies.
Yeah, thanks.
And to my left, joining us for the second time, Steve.
Steve, I'm here. How are we, everyone?
We've literally just answered those questions, but thank you for wasting everyone's time.
Well, you know, I just wanted to fit the name of Steve.
No, how are we, Steve?
No, I'm good, man. I'm very good. Getting ready for Akramunda. Got to figure out what vehicle I'm going to take. So some mad conversions coming, hopefully, for my Wayland Offworld Tours gang. So, yeah.
See, I kind of wish you hadn't brought that up because my squats are literally still unpainted, still sitting in front of me.
Oh, well, you know how I paint. So, just do a bit of dry brush, undercoat. She looks great. It doesn't have to be in that order. You know, you can dry brush first and then undercoat. How I stand, you know, and then wash. And it looks great.
Does it?
What was it Steve Anastoff said? You know, turn the lights off and walk away 10 metres and your model looks amazing.
Yeah, it does. The voice looks great. Yeah.
I don't know who this fella is, but he's seen a lot of my minis apparently. But yes, no, Akramunda, it's getting closer. It's like a month and a half away.
Yes, ooh. Yes it is.
Yeah.
Wow, that's closer than I thought.
Well,
yep.
The time this episode comes out, I think we will have 6 weeks exactly between this episode's release and day one of Akramunda.
Well, as Nathan knows with my painting for tournaments, That means I'm way ahead of schedule. So I'm in a good spot.
Feeling comfortable, are you? That's good. Good to know. Yeah, I've decided to do a horrible thing to myself and put a thought in my brain of starting a whole brand new gang. But
what are you talking about?
That's a discussion for another time of stupidity.
So. We are 6 weeks. What do you mean a new
gang? No. Nope. I'm backing out of this hole.
Yes.
Stay on topic. Stay on topic.
I'm backing up. Okay. We've got a couple of quick things to call out there. Guys, you might have noticed that this episode is going up with a brand new logo. And that was actually designed for us by an absolutely amazing artist on Instagram by the name of DeadDoll13. And please, people, if you have not seen the work this guy's putting out, it is awesome. I actually got onto him because he did the latest logo for Sump City Radio, and I was lucky enough to be able to get him to organize this logo for us. It's definitely a step up from the sort of AI created sort of background nothingness that we had previously.
Yeah, it's definitely a massive step up from our previous logo, not to take anything away from that. It's done its time, it's done its service, but I think this new logo, I guess, sort of encapsulates the pod a little bit better, in my opinion. It's definitely got a... And plus, it's new and shiny, which always makes it look just that little bit extra cool.
Yes, new and shiny is always better, which is the main reason I don't paint any of my miniatures, so they always look new and shiny as opposed to horrible and painted.
No, good idea. Yeah, great idea. Just spray them grey and leave them. Yeah.
Well, speaking of unpainted miniatures, let's leave that for the next conversation because we have a very important topic to get onto here, and it is episode 2 of our series of opening the armories, and this time we are talking about, quite honestly, probably the most recognizable and iconic weapon of the 41st millennium, the bolter.
100%. I think when people think 40K, you think Space Marines, you think bolters, you think psykers, and it is definitely something that... If you see the bolter, you instantly recognise it with this lore and this background, and it's definitely something that, I guess, if you see it in the scale of Necromunda as well, it puts the fear of God or fear of the Emperor.
I honestly can't imagine the Warhammer 40,000 or the Necromunda without the bolt gun. It's such an iconic weapon, and you think Space Marine, you see anything, and the bolt gun is there. And the fact that it's in Necromunda for me, and the way they've done it in Necromunda, is how I—that's how I envision the bolt gun to be. Just how it works in Necromunda, they've perfected it in my mind.
I mean, here I am, a loyal son of House Vansar, with my pew pew las guns, and you've got me gushing over a bolt gun.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah. Your average person fires a bolt gun, yeah, they break their arm. We of House Vansar fire a bolt gun, we literally split in half.
There's no Medicaid stim or anything like that that's going to put you back together from that one.
I try to load that thing and I just pop.
The rounds alone are scary.
Yep.
Well, getting into this, the bolter... also called the bolt gun and its variants, are some of the most powerful handheld ballistic anti-personnel weaponry in use by the military forces of the Imperium of Man. It is a powerful assault weapon that fires explosive kinetic rounds, colloquially referred to as bolts. The bolter is a weapon synonymous with the Adeptus Astartes, and rightly so. However, the Space Marines are its primary users. The bolter finds itself also in use in military organizations throughout the Imperium. The weapon is fearsome, with explosive rounds capable of ripping through or blowing apart a foe. The bolter is a mid-range anti-personnel ballistic weapon that lies between the lighter and more compact bolt pistol sidearm and the more effective but more cumbersome heavy bolter. The most common standard patterns of bolter can easily be wielded by a space marine, but on account of their size and weight, smaller human-scale pattern bolters are used by the Battle Sisters of the Adeptus Sororitas and Imperial Guard regiments throughout the galaxy. For both the Space Marines and the Sisters of Battle of the Ordos Militant of the Adeptus Sororitas, the bolter is viewed as a weapon intended by the Emperor of Mankind to bring his wrath to the enemies of mankind. Both a weapon and an item of devotion to the Emperor, and Astartes' bolter is carefully tended by its user. Every Astartes carries a bolter lovingly handcrafted by the artificers of his chapter's armory or by one of the Adeptus Mechanicus forge worlds. At each point in its construction, special rituals are observed by the artificers or tech priests. The bolters used by the Space Marines are known to be coded at times to the individual Astartes' genetic signatures so that they are only functional for members of the Adeptus Astartes.
Yeah, right. Wow. There's a fair bit to digest in there.
It's very Astartes-centric.
I was about to say, we do talk a lot about the Astartes.
Well, that's going to happen, though, yeah? It is the Astartes weapon, you know?
It is. True.
Well, it's also pretty cool in the hands of a roided-up meat neck with a metal mohawk stabbing into his brain.
Yeah, cool looking. I don't think those exist. Definitely. It's in the hands of a ganger on Necromunda. It does have a certain appeal to it. Does look very cool. But just that when you're talking about the actual initial design of the bolter, from what you said, there is it was designed by the Emperor himself. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's.
That's the rumor.
It's interesting. So different, this is classic Warhammer 40,000. Different sources give different information in this respect. Several sources turn around and say that the bolter itself was designed by the Emperor. And this is pre-unification because the Thunder Warriors and a lot of the military forces during the unification wars actually used proto-bolters or something quite closely related to the modern bolt gun.
Oh, right. But, okay.
Yeah, there are also other sources, and a lot of this is coming from more modern lore, your Horus Heresy novels, Horus Heresy 30K game rulebooks. It also talks about the Adeptus Mechanicus invented the bolt gun, or at least refined it into the modern bolt gun. But there's also evidence of the bolt gun being around from before the Dark Age of Technology.
That's what I read.
Yeah, there are multiple planets that when the Crusade fleets came into contact with them, they had bolt gun or bolt gun equivalent weapons.
Yeah, the bolt design was there, already.
Yeah. But it could just be that, you know, it didn't really matter where in the galaxy you were. A gun that fires tiny rockets is pretty rad.
But just for the record, I just want to state, so we're not burnt as heretics, the Emperor designed the bolt gun, just in case, okay?
Praise be unto him, and forever unto him be praised.
Yes.
Fair enough. So it sort of does make sense that the Emperor would have designed it, and then henceforth it got a sort of a rework by the Admech, I guess, to become, I guess, more refined, because... Yeah. I think even the modern version of the bolter, sort of the bolt rifle, which is, you know, not something I think we're going to stray too much into in this pod, is something that was redesigned by Belisarius Call, which is...
If you go anywhere near that topic, you know how it ends, okay? You know how it ends.
With a better, more improved piece of weaponry. Oh, yeah, okay.
Right, okay.
No.
Primaris. Yeah, moving on.
Going the complete 180 of that, Steve, when it comes to Rogue Trader era stuff, honestly, man, you are so much more onto this particular era of lore than I am, especially when it comes to 40K. What's your knowledge in regards to the bolter? Like,
It was the Emperor?
Well, I thought the Emperor did it, but you know, I've also heard the other two that you mentioned, you know, the Mechanicus and all that sort of stuff. And I'd actually forgotten about it, that part of it, and I did a bit more reading, you know, the other day. And I believe that I don't think the Emperor designed it myself personally. I think it was already out there. Yeah.
Surprise, it's the Inquisition.
Yeah. Oh God. If you hear my door suddenly get burst open, you know what happened, okay? But from my understanding, like it was a very common weapon almost. Like pirates used it, you know, the rogue traders used it, even orcs used it. And it went by a different name, you know, like the blaster. As well as the bolt gun. And yeah, it was just a very loud, violent gun, you know, that just, you know, arm piercing and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it was a very common weapon used by orcs. The orcs used it all the time. Obviously, the laws changed now in regard to that. They've changed a lot. But back then, it was used by marines, orcs, and pirates, you know. So
it's... The orc shooters
big shooters and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
They're effectively a bolter though, aren't they?
Well, that's how they started.
Are they just a solid slug weapon?
Yeah, and you were working at GW at the time, I think, Nath, when they brought that out. Which edition was that? Was it the Crimson Fist edition when they brought?
Where they changed?
Yeah, from.
I think it was third edition where you start to see a definitive breakaway from the orc shooting weapon, shooter.
Yeah. So it was definitely in second edition they used the bolt gun, I know that, or AKA blaster.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, look, I mean, from a lorical perspective, you could say that the expansion of humanity taking their bolt guns across the universe, they see other weapons that are of similar nature. So it could be derived that they are bolt guns. You know, it all could be derived that they are a sort of bolt weapon.
It's a renaming because of likeness, not necessarily the same
exactly
existence. Yeah. It's like a zebra is just a different kind of horse.
Yeah, exactly. They go, oh, that's a painted horse, and that's a stripy horse, and that's a, you know, a water horse. Yeah. So I mean, from a lorical sense of it, that's the way I would see it. That is, you know, the iconic bolter is still the bolter, but I guess, yeah, early days, I mean, as I say, a lot of stuff get retconned as well, but early days you can imagine that if you're expanding across the universe and you're seeing people fire, well, aliens and other civilizations firing a weapon that looks very similar to yours, you're not going to go, oh, what's their designation for it? You're going to go, well, it's basically a bolter. So, but as mentioned, the bolt gun is both a powerful and iconic weapon. But it takes a different nature when it's in Necromunda, and its status is not diminished on Necromunda. Mm-hmm. It's used by various factions and gangs, and a truly devastating armament, shredding through lightly armored gangers and, in some cases, the vehicles on Necromunda. Leaving horrific injuries and significant mental scarring, I imagine.
And that's just when you're trying to reload the bloody thing.
True. And then I guess though the bolters use galaxy wide, the setting of Necromunda showcases its destructive potential. A weapon designed for use by the armies of the Imperium finds itself being used within the close confines of a hive city to ensure little Timmy the Orlok Juve will pay for his ration of corpse starch before he leaves the store.
Love you, Timmy.
Old Timmy, mate.
Old Timmy.
Yeah, I think from my understanding a little bit about the lore, it's the most popular name on Necromunda as well.
I have read that.
The sheer noise and presence of a bolter on the streets of Necromunda can be enough to de-escalate a fight or create such havoc that the opposing gang will scuttle off as quickly as possible. So that little read there is just, we're trying to obviously make this Necromunda-centric. And I think...
Wait, we don't want to talk about orcs and space marines?
You know, they're on Necromunda, so yeah, they're applicable. Let's bring them in.
All right, so on our new podcast, orcs and space marines talk.
But for me, the bolt gun in the lorical sense and also the gaming sense of Necromunda is really well represented, and especially the gaming sense, it really shows how powerful that weapon is in Necromunda. And not just, I think it's a better representation than what it is in a 40K battlefield.
Well, you talk about it from a lorical sense, and when we think of the bolt gun, as we've said so far, we're talking about space marines, genetically engineered super soldiers. We're talking about orcs, enormous muscle-bound intergalactic monsters. They're these huge, powerful things, and they can handle those enormous bolt weapons comfortably, you know.
Don't forget Chaos Space Marines as well, and they've already got daddy issues. We don't want to give them something else to complain about, okay? So,
well, we mere humans, we can't handle that same equipment. And a really important thing to point out here is the types of bolters that your average human, or even, you know, your average genetically engineered human, such as the Goliath, they're still a much smaller weapon than what the Astartes are using. In fact, the Astartes weapons, I believe we were looking it up, and it's like a 0.75 caliber weapon.
What are you saying? You're saying the marine bolt guns are bigger than the ones we're seeing in Necromunda?
Oh, yeah.
Really? I had no idea about that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's genuine multiple references to the weapons themselves being physically smaller, not only in the build of the firearm, but also the actual caliber of ammunition as well.
Wow. I had no idea of that.
Yeah, so I guess when you're talking about the caliber, we've found in our research that there's a couple of different calibers. So I think it's a Tigris pattern or Tigris pattern bolter that was made, I think it's during the Heresy period. That's a 0.60 caliber, 0.60. And then you also have, and it's harder to find a reference on this, but we do agree that there is a 0.5 caliber bolt, well, it was 0.50 caliber bolt gun that exists. So I think you probably find those two calibers are probably what we're seeing on Necromunda, as they're a smaller sort of, not necessarily a stripped back design, but certainly a smaller design.
Yeah, the Tigris was the predominant weapon of the Traitor Legions during the Horus Heresy, because it had the same power, but it was of a smaller caliber.
Yeah, exactly. And with a weapon like this, we probably will reference the rules a little bit more in this episode than we normally do. But you don't see this displayed in a game of Warhammer 40,000, the variation.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah, but you do. I think you do see this variation come through in Necromunda. Not necessarily the different calibers. It's probably drilling down a little bit too deep, but you can see the potential for devastation that the bolter can deliver because of how powerful a caliber it is in comparison to the rest of the weapons within the armory. But it is interesting because you do have, I think you mentioned them earlier, Sam, the Sisters of Battle as well, not being genetically enhanced. So, you know, I don't think there would be any space. I don't think there would be any gang member within Necromunda who would be as genetically enhanced as a Space Marine. So, consequently, the bolters that are made are for the people who can handle them, which is an interesting fact because it means that the bolters that are being used within Necromunda have to be manufactured on Necromunda. So you're not seeing, these aren't things that are being produced on Forge Worlds or sanctioned by the AdMech or anything like that. These are things that are probably, I guess, for use of a better term, small batch bolt guns.
Well, yeah. Necromunda does produce, from, you know, different sources, a limited number of bolt weapons for the Imperium at large. But they are being produced for humans, not for Astartes. They're being produced for PDFs and Imperial Guard regiments, like their commissars and their officers and that sort of thing.
Captains and stuff like that. We've definitely seen them throughout 40K over the last, since all the editions, basically, pretty much. Yeah. The bolt gun's been there for them.
But it's funny that you mention the Sisters of Battle because the novel Throne of Light, one of the Sisters of Silence actually points out that the bolters that they are using are of a lower caliber to those of the word bearers that they're actually in combat with at the time.
Oh, really? That's cool.
So
that's really awesome.
The sister battle, even though, they're still technically human, but they have power armor. They have servo. It's not full power armor, but they have servo motors and that sort of thing, aiding their strength and giving them additional sort of ability to handle bolt weapons. Mm. But yeah, their weapons are still of a smaller caliber because they are still a human.
It's really interesting that, like, I mean, you take on the concept of a Juve or, you know, even a Vansar Ganger. And I know back from N95, there's definitely a miniature of a Vansar Ganger with a bolt gun. But
yeah, the cool.
Onset of that small, withered, you know, malnourished thing trying to fire a bolter is just... I don't know. It doesn't really.
Malnourished.
Everything in Necromunda is malnourished.
We're full of radiation. All right.
Yeah. Full up on that. I couldn't eat a possible. Couldn't eat a bit more.
No more radiation for me.
But it's just the concept of somebody like that firing the weapon. You just go. Just it doesn't seem practical. It actually, in my mind, it seems more practical of a ganger firing a heavy weapon, a shoulder-mounted heavy weapon, because in your brain you go, oh, well, that's got, you know, suspensors, or it's got something, or it's got some sort of bit of tech in there that will make that heavy weapon a much more manageable piece. But yeah, I guess when what I was trying to say is, like, you have this bolter mounted on this trooper, and because there's nothing extra added to it, it just almost looks like a fire and prey type of process. Just like I hope I hold on, you know, as they're punching out like all these rounds. And then I do know that we do have even the presence of the Storm Bolter within Necromunda as well, which is not something we've alluded to yet, but another variation of a bolt weapon. And the concept of that being fired is just bonkers. I could not say.
Hold on and pray just sounds like a typical Necromunda shooting phase, I would have thought. So,
true.
But, this whole idea of the different variants, I mean, I never really thought of that before. I mean, it'd be good to see that come into Necromunda. I'd like to see that. I mean, what sort of variants you reckon they could bring in? What are you thinking?
Well, there's a lot of Imperial weapons that were in some of the older Book of and House of books. The Stormbolter, it was in, I believe, Book of Ruin, maybe. I love that thing. Stormbolt, I think the concept of Stormbolters and the original concept of Combi Bolters, where it was just two bolters like duct taped together.
Yeah.
You just have to, with one trigger, you just like, all right, I'm just going to shoot. I'm going to shoot so much that I'm shooting while shooting.
You're pushing one trigger in with this elastic band onto the other trigger.
Exactly.
real rudimentary design, yeah.
I think I'm going to be in the minority here. I would really like to see the bolt rifle in Necromunda. Like, I know it's a Primaris weapon, and Steve, you're going to hate me for
that. That doesn't actually exist in my mind. That gun doesn't exist.
Okay.
It's right up there with the Tooth Fairy and
it doesn't exist.
Santa Claus and
Demons in the Warp. It doesn't exist. Yeah.
And Skaven don't exist.
Yeah, Skaven don't exist either. Totally agree.
But no, I think it'd be fun. Like, make it a heavy weapon.
Surely it would have to be a heavy weapon, wouldn't it? Yeah, because not only is it longer than a normal bolter. It's clearly heavier. It's got many different variations on the basic design. But mate, the cheeky little Escher Ganger who gets her hands on one of them, remembering that we said they're all genetically coded to Astartes, she is going to have to run because
I swear there's a story about an Imperial Fist bolt pistol. That made its way down Hive somewhere, and someone was bragging that they had it. And one day, this Imperial Fist goes down Hive and leaves. Oh, it's rumored this Imperial Fist goes down Hive. And the gang that had the pistol, like, they're all just dead, Like, they're just straight up, like, not even funny. You dead.
That's cool. So that's an awesome story. Oh, I remember, by the way, you did mention Imperial Fist, and I was remiss of me. Boo.
Boo.
Yeah, thank you. But that's an awesome story, and that's the kind of stuff I like to hear. And I guess that's where something as simple as a weapon can create a bit of lore for yourself as well. So the idea that a bolter, which is so, I guess, holy and idolized within the Imperium, and Astartes or a Space Marine losing their bolter is like tantamount to a heresy, basically. So they would be going on their own little quest, for use of a better term, to go recover it.
Well, they're anointed. They're blessed. Yeah, they do a whole ceremony before each battle. You know, it is a holy weapon, you know, of the angels of the Emperor.
Yeah. That's interesting, though, because you take that honor and that iconography and that ideology that's attached to the bolter within the Astartes. Is that going to be reflective in a gang in Necromunda? Do you know what I mean? Are they using this? Are they reflecting on this weapon with the same amount of respect, or is it just another tool, another form, functioning thing that's just delivering death?
Yes.
Ah, it's just another tool. Just another
tool. You reckon it's another tool? Yeah, right.
I think it's all of the above.
Okay. So thank you for you're telling
you've got
301.
You've got one of the Space Marines' holy weapons. You're going to sit there blessing it and praying it just in case the God Emperor himself hears you. What? Is that a strike cruiser in orbit?
If the Cordor capture it and they'd send it to one of their shrine fortresses and they'd venerate it as a relic from the Emperor.
But you're sort of implying that they wouldn't even use it then. It would just be a relic.
No, it would be a relic that only the greatest of their champions, the most worthy of their gang leaders, could have access to. But if you look at it the way Space Marines look at it, it may be a fresh pressed bolt pistol straight from the forges. That's cool. They venerate that as a piece of war gear that's been given to them by their chapter. But if this is a bolt pistol that's been passed down from aspirant to aspirant, from marine to marine, from champion to champion, it could have hundreds or thousands of years of history behind this weapon, where
it has its own story.
Yeah, it has its own story, and really, depending on the chapter, that could be seen as a true holy relic. Like, you know, we're getting very marine centric right now.
You're heading towards Mastercrafted there, bolt guns and stuff.
You know, if there's you know, there's examples of armor or weaponry being passed down from the heresy to now, where they carve the names of every marine that's worn this Vambrace inside it. So they can sit there and go, "Oh my God, Emperor, you know, Captain Timothiniel."
You're an idiot.
I know. Captain Nathaniel wore this in M36. How blessed this piece of equipment is. So, yes, it's equipment, but it's also a relic.
I still think that would happen in Necromunda. I don't think it would just be a form and functioning weapon. It would be venerated, I believe.
You think all variants would be venerated, though?
I think so.
What if it's the smaller sort of human caliber size one, which they took off that Astartes, what do you call them, the Palanites or something like that, police officer one, you know?
I just think that it is something that is that carry over from what the Space Marines would be doing, the Astartes would be doing, would bleed down into the Hive, that veneration of the weapon, the idea that it is something to just be more than delivering death, to be more than just an enforcer's weapon. It is a sense of office. It's a status item. It shows your place, and it shows where you belong, and so forth. But I just can't.
Your average Goliath think that way?
I agree. It'd be a status item, definitely. But these are the scum, mate. These are the scum of the Undercity. I don't think they care about. Yeah. The only way to be venerating it would be through ego and through status. You know, I'm the biggest dude. I get the best gun. That's all it'd be. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I think. Depending upon the gang, yeah? Depending upon the gang.
Is your average Goliath going to be thinking that way, or is he thinking, if I point this at someone and pull this trigger, their head explodes? Warlock thinking, hey, I can fire this into the gas tank of that Ridge Runner, blow it out, and then me and the lads can loot whatever's left over?
Like, the corpse grinder's going, where's the blade?
Yeah,
what do I do with this?
Going, how do I cut with this?
In respect to that, the only thing I'll say is I do believe the Goliath would just be very surprised that his club was able to blow somebody else's head off from a mile away.
Truth.
No, look, I just in this little discussion here, I have a gang idea, and it is Cult of the Bolt.
Cult of the Bolt.
Cult of the Bolt, a gang that worships the bolt gun to the point where they don't use it. It's too holy to use, but they would be painting themselves in as much yellow armor as possible, and they would be parading around the hive.
Oh my god, they're fake Imperial Fists.
They're fake Imperial Fists. They're Cult of the Bolt. Oh. Boo, by the way.
Boo. We are digging our way out of this carrioted hole and heading back into our conversation points, because I really want to know about the Cult of the Bolt. And
Cult of the Bolt, baby.
I cannot do this right now. I have a whole mess of stuff for my Corn Escher literally next to me, and I cannot. My wife will kill me if I buy more Warhammer. All right.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, bolt guns.
Dave, why don't you tell us about the versatility of the bolt weapon?
Well, the versatility of the bolter, it's not really derived from its adaptable design, but more so from the types of ammunition it can be loaded with, I think. Like in the broader 40K setting, there's a vast array of ammunition types. And they range from like the classic Hellfire round to the awesome Arcane Psybolt. But on Necromunda, you don't really get to see that. Their ammunition is a lot more obscure, and it's not to be found. Like with gangers looking for specialist bolt, ammo limited like three choices. Like we've got the gunk rounds, the shadow ones, the gas.
That's about it.
Yeah, I actually think it's just regular bolters that have access to it. Heavy bolters don't have access to any of those, do they?
No, I think it is just the bolter. It's not even like, I don't think you're even talking.
Just the bolt pistol?
I don't think so. I was just about to say that. I don't think it's even the bolter. Sorry, the bolt pistol or the...
I should know this.
The storm bolter. I think it is just purely the bolt pistol, the bolter, but I'm happy to be corrected by the wider audience.
I've drawn a blank. I should know this because I use them all the time.
They probably don't use the specialist rounds. The specialist rounds are cool, though. The gunk round.
The bolt pistol does have access to both gas and shatter.
All right.
I've used the gunk rounds.
Oh, you have? I've found them quite difficult to locate exactly how to buy them as a resource within the game. But anyway, that's a different issue.
Yeah, a lot of that depends on the marketplace you're using at the time. It's entirely up to your arbitrator there.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But Steve, you're right. It's, we're going to go back to 40K here. Like, you look at just the sheer number of, 40K, 30K, the sheer variation of ammunition that's available. It's the only thing that really makes the bolt gun different at any time. Otherwise, it's just standard gun.
It is, I guess, if you're going to talk 40K, there's a vast amount of different ammunition types. And for me, that's where the bolter becomes this truly flexible weapon, this tactical type of weapon, capable of engaging in an anti-aircraft type role, capable of engaging as a sniper rifle or even a marksman type rifle. I guess the unfortunate thing is we don't get to see that so much within the setting of Necromunda, which is probably an understandable outcome, because the bolt, the actual bolt, the ammunition, the technology that would go into that would be a lot more guarded, I guess, and a lot more protected.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of went into this on the last episode a bit. Remember when we speak about the las guns and just the different variants? Like, it even goes up to the Titan level. You know, the Vulcan. Was it the Vulcan Mega Bolter or something like that? Or
that's the Bolter. Yeah. It'd be the, we say it was the Turbo Laser?
But I'm saying, associating it with the Bolter.
Oh,
the equivalent would be the... But we, yeah, no digi lasers, no digi bolters.
I think this is a special niche weapon we need to write the rules for. Like, roll a d6 against your ballistic skill. If you do not hit with your ballistic skill, it goes off and you just lose a hand.
Or at least a finger, something. Yeah, like it's just gone.
It's a bolt. You lose the hand. You have to physically snap it off the model.
I think you should snap it off the model anyway, even if you hit, because you've still fired it.
the shockwave from the round.
All right, whose turn is it to use this weapon? No, not me, boss.
Anybody in the cult of the bolt, please raise your hand. Well, nobody then. Okay, you've all used it. Okay.
Well, but it also shows the bolter is the type of weapon it is. Like, they have decent range on them, but the bolter itself, I think it's a mid-range powerhouse weapon, and it's, you know, sort of still looking at it in a lorical sense. It always has been portrayed as a very mid-range weapon. You get to different variants like sniper rifles and that sort of thing. We can talk about them later on. But the bolter itself, the way it was used in combat, it was a trench weapon. It was you know, get up close, and it was that weapon that you used to take down numbers before you got too close, before you got into close combat.
I always thought of it as something different.
I always thought of it was just this. It was a weapon of fear, like that's what it was in the hands of a space marine. It was you could use it to take out light tanks, other superior weapons. It would just disintegrate mobs of cultists. It was just a awe-inspiring, terrifying weapon that a squad of marines would land, and just the fact that they're there with their bolt guns would just instantly quell what's the word I'm looking for? An insurrection or something like that. Yeah, like it is a terrifying weapon, and it does actually come across like that in Necromunda, the game. When someone's shooting a bolt gun at you, you are like, "Oh crap, don't hit."
Well, you're absolutely right. Like the bolts, it's effectively a grenade. It fires an explosive charge that launches as a standard gunpowder weapon does. And then once it hits, it explodes. So it goes into you, and then once it's penetrated, it explodes. So if it goes through light armor, it goes through your barricades, goes through your cover, and it may miss you, but it explodes behind you, and you're being torn apart by shrapnel. Mm. And that's just your standard bolt.
Yeah.
That's before we're looking at, gas bolts. Okay, so it explodes, hits you with shrapnel. Oh, and BT dubs, you're drowning in your own blood. Like, it's melted your throat.
Yeah.
Yeah, a weapon of fear. Talk about an understatement, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like, You compare it to the flashlight, the las gun. It's just a completely different weapon. It's just scary.
The las gun is death by a thousand cuts. The bolt gun is death by rocket propelled grenade shrapnel bomb.
Yeah.
You're right when you talk about the different type of ammunition types, but the delivery method is just phenomenal for like how it can just rip apart anything. And you think about that in the concept of Necromunda, where, mate, you're not I think the best armor you're probably going to encounter is like a carapace armor, you know, which is, you know, segmented plates of armor. So there's still lots of soft patches between these armor areas. That bolt round's just going to slice straight through them. So when you take, and it's an odd way to think about it, but when you take this weapon, this military weapon, and you're putting it into what is effectively like a civilian society, for use of a better term, of Necromunda, you're bringing something that is designed to stop, as Steve mentioned, lightly armored vehicles, and you're bringing it in, booting at blokes running around in t-shirts and a bit of goodwill. That's it.
And the occasional hammered piece of metal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. People just praying. Their defense is, I hope I don't get hit. I know my arm is not going to stand up to any most of the things that I'm shooting. So my actual defensive process is, please just don't hit me. And as Steve mentioned, when you get hit, when one of your gangers gets hit by a bolter in the game, you're like, oh, mate. All right, hopefully they just don't die. You know they're probably going out of action. They're getting rock and rolled, but you're praying that they don't die. But something that we mentioned before about the ammunition types is the one thing that I find really cool and interesting within Necromunda is that the limited capacity of ammunition for the bolter. So this is what I'd mentioned earlier, is that, yes, okay, we may be able to produce human-scale bolters and so forth, but it seems like the ammunition is the protected element of the technology. You know what I mean? That's where we're saying, okay, well, you're not getting all your specialist rounds. Furthermore, production of the actual rounds is not an easy process. It's not like making a charge pack for a las gun. This is something that seems like the more difficult part of the process, making these tiny little rockets.
Well, yeah, it's not like your auto gun or, you know, your zip gun style rounds where it's just... firing pin hits little charge, which ignites black powder, which shoots a slug. It takes into account timing, proximity, pressure against the actual bolt when it hits its target, and then a slight timer, and then detonation. You know, and it really shows, sort of looking at it in a gaming sense, where the ammo roll is so hard for all bolter rounds, where you really got to be lucky or have that reload handy to get to get more than a couple of shots off.
Yeah, true.
And then
you see that even with the Palinites, who are, you know, renowned. It's their weapon. You know, they're the ones who bring the majority of bolter usage into the game. Their ammunition roll for the weapon is still not amazing. You know what I mean? It's still a 50-50 chance that, oh, it's slightly better than it's a 50-50 chance that they're going to run out of ammo. This is a task force that has this weapon as their principal function, and yet they still even can't keep themselves supplied. So this is why I believe, from a technology point of view, that the ammo is where the screws of the Imperium really are twisted on this, where they go, okay, you're not going to produce vast amounts of this weapon.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact you've mentioned the Palinites there. Their Enforcer pattern bolt guns are awesome. Like, they're that real combat orient. Like, but not obviously all bolt guns are combat orientated. You ain't throwing it at someone and they're going to be like, it's buddy. It's real sleek. It's almost tactical.
It looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
I like the idea, and it's something that we spoke about earlier when we were discussing information for the episode, the idea that particular patterns of bolt gun are used for particular arms within the matrix of the Imperium as well.
Obviously,
you've got the Godwin Diaz being used for Sisters of Battle, the Enforcer pattern for the Palinites, and obviously the Godwin pattern, I believe, for the Astartes, and the Call pattern and so forth.
Yeah, but
what that shows is that, and something we mentioned, that the production of the bolt gun on Necromunda means that you have some very iconic looking Necromundan weapons. You know what I mean? So we take the idea of the bolt gun being a very iconic weapon within the whole concept of the sphere of 40K, but the actual production of 40k of Necromunda bolt guns will be very, very unique, very, very baroque for that game.
If you look at, and it's, I love the fact you've talked about Necromunda bolt guns. Remember in the last gun episode, or maybe even the Escher episode, we talked about the Escher-produced Necromunda last gun, how it had that sort of 45-degree forward-facing
yes.
power. Look at the Enforcer bolt guns, how they got those beautiful drum magazines.
Yeah.
Those bad boys are facing forward in that Necromunda fashion.
Yes.
I think, you know, whether it was on purpose, whether it was just happenstance, whatever, I think it's a very cool nod to that old N95 mentality of let's focus them so you're able to fire down. You go click, 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 I'm out of ammo, pull that bad boy in, and it's that drum or that mag or whatever, it's sprayed in, and you're good to go. And I just think, yeah, there's something about it that, and I hate the term, it's very tactical, if you know what I mean.
Like, tactical.
Oh my god!
I've never heard that before.
I cannot tell you where I heard it, but when I think
just tactical,
weirdly awesome, and somehow still rather tactical, that's the word I think of. But
brilliant,
yeah.
I'm going to use that as much as possible now.
But it also looks at, like, if you look at the Orlocks or the Goliaths, where we get bolt guns from their sprues. The Orlock bolt guns are very utilitarian. They're very simple. They're very basic. They have that almost standard feel to them. You know what I mean? It looks like a standard human bolt gun. The Goliaths look like, you know, you said it before, my club can also shoot things. And, you know, that's how I look at these Necromundan weapons. They have these different patterns. They have their different flair. They all have their own cool little design.
Yeah, the design aesthetics of them. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, this is something that we'd mentioned as we were building the episode, is even the Escher, just the pistol grip they put on them, the small little elements that they put on the outer casing, and it's something we were going to talk about later in the episode, but I'll mention it now, is that the basic concept and the basic idea of the bolt gun, whether it be in the hands of Astartes or the hands of little Timmy the Orlock Jew, if he's picked up his first bolter, the basic idea of it is exactly the same. You know, big chunky magazine, you know, probably oversized looking barrel, big boxy design on it. That doesn't really change too much, but it's all these elements that we're talking about that help create the aesthetic of what this bolter looks like. I think even in the hands of the Cordor, and they're, you know, a rummaged looking bolter, something they've strapped together, it's still going to have that similar aesthetic and design quality to it of boxy design, chunky magazine, and big muzzle on it.
But it still has to be strong. It can't just be like the reclaimed auto guns where, you know, you're holding those things together with duct tape, a prayer, and several generations of just filth. it's still firing a tiny rocket grenade.
Yeah,
and you know you've hit it. You know, you mentioned it on the last gun episode. You've mentioned it again now, but once again, it's so apt. The core of the weapon has to remain the same. It has to remain strong. It has to remain, you know, powerful.
Yeah, exactly. And it is exactly what I've mentioned earlier. The idea that you see a bolter in the hands of somebody and they're shooting it. Now, if you have a bolter that's stripped back and you can see exposed elements and it's lost its boxy design, I believe that you're not truly representing it on your model. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And you're misinterpreting what the bolter is supposed to look like from a lorical sense of view. And I'm not saying to anybody, don't do that. Don't make your miniatures like that. I'm just saying that it has such a iconic design that it needs to be carried forth into that, whether it be, as you say, a scrap together bolter or something that is beautifully manufactured for the Enforcers. It has to have a key element to it. It's all the little peripherals that go on the outside of it. You know, you want to put some extra spikes on it. You want to put a particular target or a scope or something like that on it. Go for your life. But the basic doesn't change. And this is where this weapon, because of the nature of what it is so very different to an auto gun or a las gun, which, you know, as we mentioned in the las gun episode, the las gun can look so different in so many different areas, and the aesthetics of it still are so adaptable. But yeah, it's I find that very interesting about the bolter. Is it's very hard to not have it look the same as every other bolter, if you know what I mean.
Well, just on that, yeah, we're talking about the variations of the bolter and how they all look similar to the iconic one. I mean, it's not always the case, though. I mean, you can look at the squats, for example, in both 40K and Necromunda. I mean, if we go to Necromunda, you've got the Ironhead Prospectors, you know, and they have the Ironhead bolt gun, which is a double barrel with a 3-drum magazine. And then if you jump into 40K, you've got the squats there, the Leagues of Voltan, the you pronounce it Ortok pattern bolter, I think. You correct me if I'm wrong.
I would say Ortok.
Ortok, yeah. And that's similar. It's got common ancestry to the Imperial versions, but it's also superior in every aspect respect. You know, this weapon hits harder and it works better. So yeah, I mean there's another variant that's doesn't look like the bolt gun at all.
Well, yeah, that's something I both love and hate about the Leagues of Votan, where they've got so many of those classic squat sort of archetypes in them when it came to their weaponry and their equipment. And, you know, it goes back to, you know, in the Ironhead squats, we understand they're a prospect of the Votan people. And their technology, where it's not that it's a different, it's like an upgrade or a downgrade of Imperial technology. It's almost like it veers off at a certain point. You're absolutely right. They share common ancestry and they have those common ancestors in their development and that sort of thing. But yeah, I think when you go to compare Imperial technology to, and I'll say non-Imperial technology, but I really just mean technology that isn't stifled by the sort of requirements of the Imperium, the designs can be improved. I mean, you look at the Leagues of Votan, you look at the Ironhead bolt gun the Ironhead bolt gun from the Squat Prospectors. They've taken what they've already had, and because they haven't had tech priests saying no, you can't do that. They haven't had the dogma of the church saying to them that you can't do this. They've been able to make something better, but it keeps the same internal prospect. It's strong enough to fire your rocket grenade and you can make it look however you want.
Abhumans improving on human technology. What are the Ogryns going to do? I can't wait to see this. This is heresy in its finest, by the way. This is heresy.
Exactly what I'm thinking. He's like, oh, yeah, no, just scrap the ADMEC and scrap this. But look at us. Let's put two barrels in our bolter. Also, we can't see over a table.
So you use your double barrel 3-drum magazine Ironhead bolt gun and you shoot the table.
That's a good point. You shoot one barrel, take it to the table, and the other barrel fix up that dude on the other side.
Can't see over it. You've just made yourself a nice barricade and you can see through it.
I will say, I mean, playing against the Prospectors for that first time last year at Archimunda, and they opened up with their bolt guns. Yeah. And I had my Orlok bolt gun, and I was just like, there's something going on here.
I have made a bit underwhelmed. Critical error.
Yeah. You go to fire your one, you're like, oh, I didn't realize I brought the las gun version of it.
Oh, no, I would have run out of ammo by then, man.
If you're talking about sort of different versions of bolters, and we've touched on a little bit already, what about combi bolters?
The combi bolter. Oh, I love combi bolters.
What's better than a bolter? It's a bolter with another gun strapped to it. And it doesn't even need to be another bolter. Like, you can strap a bolter to a bolter and you've got double bolter. But
flamer, the grenade launcher, the plasma gun, the melter gun. Ugh.
Before either of you mention it, the Condemner bolt gun.
Yes.
A bolt gun with a crossbow attached to it.
Yes.
You can't get cool. You can't beat that. That's the coolest thing ever, you know?
You somehow make the crossbow bolt explode as well. That's how you do it. And
but then, I want to see a shuriken catapult attached to a bolt gun.
How did you make a bolt gun worse? How did you make a bolt gun worse?
Yes, I totally agree.
I just wanted that reaction.
Oh. Yeah, well, you got it because you're a dum-dum. But what I was talking about earlier, the concept of this weapon as a symbol of status,
yep.
The Condemner bolt gun is exactly that. You're not seeing that outside the hands of the Inquisition.
Not
for long anyway.
Episode 2, when the Ordos Hereticus led Psyker hunting parties down into the other, imagine they would have just been throwing these out left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And the Escher would have swooped them up. The Goliath would have been like, ooh, toothpicks.
The club's got a spike. Yeah, good on you, mate.
Spike on it. good one, Gore, the bolter chewer. But yeah, the Condemner bolt gun, I think, is just one of those. It's an Imperial propaganda weapon that is also an actual weapon. But it's true Imperial nonsense in weapon form.
Which gang do you think is probably the more common to have combi weapons?
Ooh. That's a good question. I'm thinking combi weapons.
And then would it be the type of combi weapon? Like, obviously, corduroy, you'd see flamers and all that sort of stuff, potentially.
Combi flamers? I don't know. For me, I just think from their production capacity, it's House Escher.
We're already talking. They've got their own specific pattern.
Yeah, exactly. They've got their Escher pattern combi weapon. And I think there's a few other gangs, but just from their ability to produce... And they produce bolt guns, and then we know they specifically produce the bolt needler as well, which is the combi needler. I would see them with it. But I just a quick mention, just to not detract from what you're asking there, Steve, but I love the way the combi weapon works in Necromunda as well. It really gives you a sense that, mate, this is a one-time deal, you know. And I love that. It shouldn't be just like, oh, yeah, I've got a combi flamer. And
make it count.
Yeah, make it count. Yeah. Exactly. I love that in the game sense. And as I said, we will talk about game sense. But when you roll that extra dice and, yeah, oh, come on, please, baby, just have enough ammo for at least one more round of shooting. I love that desperation that the combi weapon adds to your shooting phase. It is very cool.
It's kind of like, what, am I going to use it on you? And when you do get a shot, I see that's the guy who deserves the combi shot. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't think of anyone else that really has the combi weapons available. The combi bolters. Escher.
Yeah, for me, that's where my brain goes. I don't know enough about the squat prospectors to say anything, but do they have combi versions of their abomination guns?
Oh, God, I hope not.
That would be very interesting, wouldn't it? That'd be a very, very cool thing to see. And if the weapon itself, their particular bolter, already looks like there's so much going on. To add a combi element to it it almost just seems a bit too much. But,
I don't think the Orlocks have got them. I don't think they've got them from memory. I can't remember.
Like, they have option. Access to them through...
Yeah, but...
Through gang really. Generation and stuff, but
I just don't see the Orlocks. And again, it shows my ignorance a little bit about Necromunda, but the Orlocks don't necessarily have like a vast weapons manufacturing arm of their gang or their house.
Yeah, they've got the Orlock pattern combi weapon. They've got the Orlock pattern combi weapon. That's right.
Okay,
yeah. That's just the Orlock pattern. So they'd have very limited.
Yeah, it's grenade launcher or melter gun. Basically. Yeah,
because that's the sort of stuff you want when you're out in the waste and you're hunting convoys.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
But yeah, but even then, I think everyone really has access to those. Yeah, I get it. I'm not sure, but if in answer to Steve's question, genuinely, in when it comes to Necromunda, when I think combi weapons, as in combi bolters, I think Escher. Hands down, yeah. I think Escher.
Mm. Yeah, and I'd be probably a little bit biased from my point of view. I do love them, and it's the first gang I started playing. But, yeah, I just see it from that point. But, look, I mean, yeah, let's go back to talking about the combi weapon. Just the variations that you can amass within the game are really cool. And my personal favourite is the idea of the combi bolt. The combi weapon bolt grenade launcher. That's cool. It is proper terror on a in a hive city. That somebody's not only firing mini rockets, but they're able to punch out little grenades left, right, and center, and just like, oh yeah, you're behind that bit of cover. Yeah, here, hold this frag grenade for me.
Okay, here's this is a rules question, and none of us are really great with this. I know the combi bolter grenade launcher, you can purchase it with frag grenades, crack grenades, and stun rounds. Mm. And I guess it'd be an arbitrator's decision, but grenade launchers have massive numbers of rounds available to them. Like, could you buy, you wouldn't be able to buy, if you bought a grenade launcher with the necessary rounds, like, plasma grenades. Could you do, would you better use them with the bolt gun?
I mean, I think you should be able to.
I'd say yes.
I mean, that's what I like about Necromunda. It's very customizable in a sense. Yeah, it's like, he's picked up some plasma. I mean, let's face it, he's only going to get to use them once. He's going to run out of ammo, you know, and that just makes that battle a bit more exciting. That's what I think anyway.
In my mind, I have the idea that it's very similar to the digi weapon bolter, is that if you do miss with your, while firing your little plasma grenade out of your grenade launcher, whilst also trying to fire the bolter, pack it up, pack it in. You're going to go see the big E in the sky.
Yeah, grab a pair of cable cutters and just remove the model's arm. Yeah.
And take the mate beside you with you. Cultured as well.
Very true.
I mean, we're talking about the awesome commie weapon setup there, but we can take it a step further. And I mentioned this before earlier, and it's just, it has to be, you know, the different variants again, going to the Storm Bolter, the Heavy Bolter, and the Mighty Vulcan Mega Bolter, which is, you know, okay, see where we're going with this? The different types of, you know, you have the Bolter, but then you've got the different types of bolt weapons.
I want a petition that we change the name of the Heavy Bolter to the Boltzuga.
You're a fool.
Boltzuga.
The actual, like, fool. A clown.
Oh, I reckon honest Cabs could do that for you, mate. We could sell it as the Bolt Bazooka.
So, yeah, we're a go on the Boltzuga?
I think so, yep.
Yeah, excellent. You've been
If we're going to have that, I want the idea of a Vulcan Mega Bolter firing gunk rounds.
Oh my god.
Like, if you read into gunk weapons like at all, the lore behind them is amazing. It's thousands and thousands of years of like just liquid filth filtering its way down through the hive into two tunnels, and they put it in vats and process it and turn it into like gunk bombs and gunk rounds and that sort of thing, where it hits you, and you just don't want to be near this stuff, because if there's a slight spark and you're just on fire, like, this stuff is like filthy napalm. I want to see a Vulcan Mega Bolter firing that into just absolute hordes of greenskins. And then one of them is just smoking like a big cigar. And it's like classic 80s action movies, but like, what's cooking? And he flicks it and it hits the front boy. And he's just like, no.
That's cool. And then obviously he's walking away from it.
But he doesn't.
Slow motion. Yeah.
Because cool guys don't look at explosions.
Exactly.
There you go.
100%.
I really want that now.
I mean, that was the first thing I bought for my gang was the
a Balkan Mega Bolter.
The Bolt Bazooka. That's the first thing I bought for my gang.
The Bolt Zooka?
Yeah, the Bolt Zooka, the heavy boulder.
I have no part of this silly Bolt Zooka statement thing.
And yes, the first time I fired him, my opponent put that stupid card down.
Click.
the click one, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go the complete opposite of the Vulcan Mega Bolter there. Let's look at smaller, not bigger. And we're not talking about squat weapons again, no. We are really looking at the Bolt Pistols. They really are just a stripped down, sort of, you know, for lack of a better term, handheld version of the Bolt Gun. And once again, you got some very cool different variations. And I don't want to talk about the Space Marine versions there. But we do get a lot of human-sized Bolt Pistols as well. The obvious Godwin Diaz pattern Bolt Pistol for the Adeptus Sororitas. A cool one is the Ceres pattern Bolt Pistol, typically used by Imperial Navy and Inquisitors. I mean, you get so much of this information here is really available. Do you remember the Dark Heresy and Rogue Trader books, like the role-playing game books?
Yeah.
Because, once again, it was such a smaller, more condensed game. Some of the information that was able to go into them was real cool, and they the Inquisitor's Handbook was a great one, and this next one here actually comes from that. It's the Cindercrag Forge Mauler Bolt Pistol, and it's literally designed for normal humans. And these things are, remember how we mentioned the Space Marine weapons being sort of like biometrically designed to only work for Astartes?
Yeah.
These particular Mauler Bolt Pistols are handmade by these servitors of Cindercrag, and they're actually tailored to the individual genetic and biometric data of the purchaser.
That's cool.
Yeah, but
that's really sick.
They're actually a human-sized Bolt Pistol that, and it fires a, I believe in the book it mentions a 0.50 or a 0.60 caliber.
Yeah, I was about to ask what the caliber would be.
Yeah.
It would have to be the reduced down. But I think what you're saying with the regard to the Bolt Pistol as well, it's definitely going to be a lot more prevalent and a lot more widespread than, say, a bolter. Do you know what I mean? It's a lot easier for a human to use. Even the heavier version of the pistol, just grab it with two hands and just, you know, pull the trigger. Yeah.
I love the original description for the Bolt Pistol when it was first released. Would you like to hear it?
I would.
Here we go. These are smaller and more compact versions of the basic bolt gun and find favor amongst the same sort of creatures, i.e. those who prefer ugly, cumbersome weapons which make a lot of noise and cause a great deal of obvious damage. And then my favorite sentence, a character carrying one of these things means business.
That's cool. Well,
it's so accurate. I mean, look at Necromunda. Look at the gangs really toting these things. Orlocks, yeah. Goliaths, Escher.
Yeah.
We know all about the Escher. We had a mammoth episode released about them already. But the Orlocks, once again, utilitarian, you know, to the point. And the fact that every single one of their Bolt Pistols has a drum magazine, like, you know, they're not there to play.
Yeah.
Then Goliath Bolt Pistols, small, compact for a Goliath. But if you run out of ammo, they can beat you to death with it.
Well, they're probably beating you to death with it first, and then you know, then they realize they have ammo.
And shoot your corpse.
So just a slight little offshoot about what you're talking about in regard to the variations is the something we saw in our research for this was the Perennitus pattern bolt gun.
Correct me if I pronounce it wrong, but the Predator's pattern Solo Mark II is considered to be heretical by some members of the Adeptus Mechanicum. Its workings are much less sophisticated compared to other bolt guns, and it can only be operated in single-shot mode. Its lack of automatic fire mode is made up for by its somewhat longer range, better accuracy, and higher reliability of its mechanism. These features make it popular with PDF and Rebels.
I haven't heard of this gun before.
It's cool, isn't it? It's sick. Yeah. This is a Necromunda weapon. This is 100% a Necromunda weapon. A core design that is butchered and mutated by people with limited production capacity, making something that they know can deliver a truly devastating capacity onto their enemy. And they're just like, we just bastardize it until we can make it work.
That's from the Rogue Trader book, isn't it?
I found it on Lexicanum. So I'm going from that. I don't know where its original source comes from.
Yeah, but it's basically, I know it's not a bolt action weapon, but it's like a bolt action bolter. It's fire, reload, fire, reload. Even though you've got the magazine, 10 rounds or whatever. But you can only fire it on single shot. And you are absolutely right. That is such a great sort of Necromunda bolter it works. But not great.
Not great, exactly. So if any campaign arbiters out there who want to include something like this, just a simple thing, you pump up its range, you make it single shot, those type of things, and you throw it into the trading post. Let people go get it. It's cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, speaking of sort of homemade weapons, there's a really cool one from Dark Heresy, and I'm going to stop talking about role-playing games and start talking more about Necromunda, I promise. But it's called the Volg Spitfire Bolt Pistol, and it's actually not a real bolt pistol. It's like a flare gun, and they figure out that it was this, it was like a heretic tech adept. He's just like, hold on, I can take this flare gun and just shove a flare inside it and then put this little detonator on top of it. I can fire it. And so it works kind of like a bolt, like bolt ammunition, where it flies, hits them, and then explodes, where it's like a flare going off inside you. And they sell them as like homemade bolt pistols, kind of like you see those guns they seize in like favelas and that, where they're zip guns that they've made. But yeah, this Heretic is making them, and all these people start making them and selling them. And the planet, the Volg, on Volg, they just produce them. And they're like, yeah, this is out, the Volg pattern bolt pistol. And it's like,
that's cool.
No, buddy, it's a flare gun with a weird bullet you've made. But
it's a
like
Wish
that.
Version of a bolt pistol.
Yeah, it is Wish bolt pistol. And I love that. Like, and this, you actually mentioned it during the episode 1.5, Nathan, where it was like the ammunition that sort of the guns that get worse, they can break. Take some of those rules. Some of those rules and apply them to these weapons. And arbitrators, put them in your games. Invent that Heretic Timmy who's making these.
Timmy's now a heretic? What happened there?
he fell in with a bad crowd,
Timmy.
Classic Timmy. But he's, make these weapons. Release them, or be like, everyone's been given one of these weapons from your local gunsmith who's trying to find his way into the market. It's right there. There's sources from all these different Warhammer 40K supplements, be it tabletop, role-playing game, video games, whatever. It's there. The lore is literally there. Do it.
It's cool. I love the idea that the weapon breaks as well, because your description of it sounds like a weapon designed to break.
Yeah. One one weapon, this actually goes back to something you said during our Escher episode. Remember when you were talking about the bolt pistol? You're like, oh, I wonder if there's any combi bolt pistol needlers. Yeah, and you're like, oh, the Evisor Assassins have them. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
There's an even cooler version. One of the original Temples of Assassins on Terra was the Adamus Temple. And the clade Adamus Assassins, they were swordsmen. They were melee warriors. And do you remember the old Imperial Assassin?
Yeah.
He kind of looked like Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe.
Yeah, ninja with a gun almost sort of thing.
Yeah, ninja with a gun. Mm. That's what these guys look like. They straight up have like a katana and they look like Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe. But they have something called a needle spine blaster.
Oh, dear.
Strap yourself in, boys. It is a rapid fire bolter with a needler that makes use of enhanced synthetic venoms. So the needle spine blaster fires an intensified pulse beam of LAFS energy, and then darts shoot through after that. So the LAFS weapon penetrates, the needles get in, and they're poisoned. And if that doesn't kill you, he shoots you in the face with his bolter.
Just to be sure.
And then chops up your remains.
With his samurai sword. Yeah.
With a freaking, these weapons are ancient. These swords are ancient Terran artifacts. But
that's cool.
Yeah. How cool is that?
So, but is his bolt pistol still just like a regular bolt pistol?
Yeah.
Or you don't know?
Yeah. It's a rapid fire bolt pistol.
Sick. I'm actually looking at the miniature now. It's like, I remember seeing it, but yeah, your description of it just makes it seem 10
times
cooler.
More terrifying?
More terrifying, but also 10 times cooler. It's sick, bro.
Oh, that is awesome. I wonder. You know, I could turn that into a champion in my Khorne Escher gang.
There's something we haven't spoken about as well to do with the bolter.
Oh, okay. Go on.
Okay. And it kind of ties in with what you were saying before, Nath, with is the bolter revered? You know, the gangs, all that sort of stuff. Does it become an icon? All that sort of stuff, or a relic sort of thing. I disagree with that. I can't remember what Sam said. Spam, sorry. But there's something that there's something to do with the bolter that specifically Astartes have, yeah? And that is that every bolter actually has a machine spirit inside it. So does that come down into the Necromunda level? Is there a machine spirit in all the Necromunda bolt guns? I'm just curious about that. I'm wondering.
Interesting, because if they're not necessarily being manufactured by the Mechanicum, does it still mean that they have a machine spirit? I'd probably...
Yeah, but the Astartes bolt guns are actually manufactured by the artificers of its chapter's armory.
Yeah, but they're...
Because that's something happens with them only, and so does it... But if the bolters are being made on Necromunda, let's say, they're obviously being made there. Does that, you know, let's say for the human variant, will that have a machine spirit attached to it or included in one?
Yes, no, maybe.
Yes, no, maybe. Okay.
A Dark Angel's answer. Yeah, cool. Yeah. I personally don't think they would. I don't think you'd see a machine spirit in bolt guns and bolt weapons that are probably, and I'm happy to be corrected on this one, probably
so
not being
Astartes only.
I'm thinking so. It has to be it has to be something approved by the ADMEC.
So you're telling an Imperial Guard commander with a bolt gun, his doesn't have a machine spirit attached to it?
It would be blessed and maintained by the regiment's tech priests.
Yeah, so it would.
Okay, yeah, cool.
I don't think it would. I think, that is a hard one.
Just throwing a spanner in there. Sorry, guys.
Ultra episode, mate, not a spanner episode.
It's a good one. I personally believe that it would not, no, it depends on who made it. It depends on who made it. If it was made in a regulated and maintained Imperial certified factorium that was producing authorized weapons, I believe it would. If it was Backyard Billy's, you know, black market bolters, I don't think it would. I think he would be dealing with stolen components that have been shipped by, you know, serf laborers to get the core of a bolt weapon down to him, and then he would be building it around it. So it would not have any of the blessings. It wouldn't have any of the oils applied. I think a machine spirit would have to be applied via the medium of prayer, you know, but you believe in it enough, it comes into existence. So no, unless it was produced, you know, quote unquote properly, I don't believe it would have a machine spirit.
Now, so if a Necromunda ganger got his hands on a bolt gun with a machine spirit. And he neglects to keep that part of the machine spirit happy or, you know, blessed. Does that then mean the bolt gun ceases to operate at its, you know, level required?
This is where we need to take a step back, because we are now looking at some real religious aspects of 40K. I mean, depending on who you ask, even within 40K, the machine spirit is real.
Very, very true. Now, just one, before we go away from it, I know we want to step back. One last question relating to it. If you have a machine spirit in a vehicle or a weapon or whatever the case might be, it does functionally make it better, correct?
Yeah,
well, you know, there's vehicles with machine spirits that work better. So does that mean the bolter with machine spirit in a gang hive war is better than the bolter that we're currently seeing within
only if they're maintaining it? Only if they
Let's assume it's maintained.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Do we have an even more destructive weapon then?
Yes. I think it should be improved. Like, scarily enough, because I'm terrified of bolt guns and Necromunda. Yeah, one with a machine spirit that's, you know, like House Corridor's got, hey, let's do the right anointments and all that sort of stuff, and light a candle, say grace. I think that bolt gun should be even more terrifying.
All right. Interesting. Let's step back, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Steve, you have just broken me mentally there. We're now going to have to do a full episode on religion.
It's almost a full episode. Full episode on machine spirits in Necromunda. I'm just asking one question. We're not going to talk about it. But how do you maintain that machine spirit in Necromunda when you don't have readily available tech priests, tech adepts, or you're even if you're an outlaw? But that, I don't want an answer to this question, because this is a completely different character to hold.
I won't answer it. We can wait for another because I have the answer, but we can talk about it later. Okay, that's for another episode.
Yeah,
but let's just say one thing. I mean, one way of doing it actually includes sacrificial offerings. And yeah, that's it's a whole can of words. Mm. So,
no, step back, yeah, that's. Yeah.
So moving on,
got me thinking of that. The cult of the bolt are really the guys to ask.
The bolt, baby. I'm telling you, it is a gang. It is a gang that has to be made. The cult of the bolt.
Just don't get them to write the answer down, because they can't. they lost their hands already. Remember. Should we move on to another variant? I mean, we've spoken about the Vulcan Mega Bolter, so we've already mentioned the Storm Bolter. Do you want to go through the lovely Storm Bolter, or
the Storm Bolter is two bolters strapped together with a single trigger? I mean, the original Combi Bolter was literally just bolter plus bolter equals double bolter, and you know, post Horus Heresy, the Storm Bolter variant was sort of brought into place as a more refined version of it.
Specifically the Terminator usage, yeah.
Yeah, it does the same thing.
I mean, it's a bit superior, a lot more superior.
Shush. No, no.
Definitely, definitely more superior.
I mean, not, no. The Storm Bolter is exactly the same as the Combi Bolter, but regular human folk can use them in the right caliber.
That's what my question was going to be, is, are we looking at reduced caliber Storm Bolters? Because even a reduced caliber Bolter is a lot of hard work for a regular human. So a reduced caliber Storm Bolter is still, like, that's like firing a regular Bolter then, an Astartes Bolter, would you imagine?
I kind of feel like a Storm Bolter should be a heavy weapon, really, for the average Joe.
Yeah, totally agree.
I think it's only a special weapon. If we're looking at it sort of table-wise, the Storm Bolter, yeah, it's just a special weapon. I mean, it's rapid fire too scarce. Your ammo, yeah, 6+. But, you know, your rapid fire too and each of those hits doing 2 damage. Like, and that's one thing we've not really touched on. Bolt is almost across the board 2 damage. In fact, I think they are across the board 2 damage.
The bolt pistol's 2 damage, yeah.
Yeah, bolt pistol's 2 damage. The bolter is 2 damage. Yeah, like...
And that stupid reroll for ammo, the 6+ for the ammo check.
Yeah.
That's all of them.
That's really your go-to there. I think, the shatter shells are only a single damage. But that's because they're more of a shrapnel weapon. So it's not really the explosion of the shell itself, but it's the shards of shell that are attacking you.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the heavy bolter, once again, damage 2. But yeah, it's really shown that, I think Nathan's hit it on the head. It's not the weapons themselves that are rare. Anyone can make them, much like a lasgun. But unlike the lasgun, the bolter's ammunition is rare.
Yeah.
I think that's the perfect way to look at it. The bolt gun is simple. Get something strong that can allow for the ignition to occur. But you need to get the rounds. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why finding rounds of a different type is so hard for the bolter, because that's the part they're protecting.
Mm.
And then, I do think that's really cool. Because with all the other rounds I've got available in the other, you know, other versions of the game, and it's so limited when it hits Necromunda, it changes the aspect and the feel of the weapon.
Mm.
It's more of a privilege.
Yeah, you're right. You're right on there, Steve. I guess, look, there's one thing we've neglected a little bit in this episode is there are Astartes on Necromunda, the Imperial Fist, so we probably should have quite a significant mention of them. So Imperial Fist. That's it.
We're going to get so much hate from Imperial Fist fans.
We'll be fine, mate. They'll lock themselves in their houses.
No.
I mean, I've actually got nothing against them.
Boo.
Boo. Boo. You are never coming back.
Yes,
it's all right. It's all good.
Guys, we have talked about this for a very long time, and I think it's about time that we maybe need to bolt.
Hey.
So, closing thoughts. Nathan, I'm actually not going to let you say anything until you tell us about the Cult of the Bolt.
I'll tell you now, Cult of the Bolt is one of the best gang ideas you'll ever have. They don't actually, like, you have to, when you go to the trading post, you have to buy a bolt gun. You've got to go out of your way to buy a bolt gun, but you're not allowed to use it in your gang. It's only venerated. It's put on, you know, put on display. It's worshipped, but you don't actually use it. You can get your arbiter to ship in that particular bolt pistol you were talking about, and you can use that.
Wait, so what? Every ganger has to buy a bolt gun, or just the one for the whole gang, and then that's venerated?
Every time you go to the trading post, you have to try and buy a bolt gun.
So even if you need to buy something else, you're buying bolt guns.
Bolt gun first, yeah.
You are donating to the cult of the bolt first.
Oh, my God.
Done. We will start a campaign.
Oh my god.
You know what you could do? The Vault of Temenos, the campaign book. That campaign we do with the relics and the sort of like religious fervor aspect to it.
Mm.
You can create your own relic. And I'm pretty sure that it mentions that you can actually have one of those relics as a sacred bolt gun that was carried by like the grandfather of a member of your gang or something.
It's awesome. So many cool conversions here in my head at the moment.
But like you could make this relic as the bolt gun that was, you know, rescued from. Remember when those Imperial fists went to the skull?
Yes.
And yeah, right, cool. They're like, oh, there's something in there. And that one guy got his way back, and then the Imperial fists took him up to the spire and were like, okay, you're good, dude. What if the Cult of the Bolt were literally scavengers that went to the skull to try and loot and found this bolt pistol, and it turns out, Timmy from Cult of the Bolt. I genuinely couldn't think of another person's name.
Timmy's really getting around.
I couldn't think of my own name.
He started off as an Orlok Juve, and then he became Chaos, and now he's a...
Yeah, he's now the leader of the Cult of the Bolt. But he's picked up this bolt pistol, and he's shot whatever gribbly beast was going to kill him, and everyone's just like, oh my god, Emperor. And... Yes. Yeah, that's your relic. And because he fired the last shot, and he's like, well, that's, you know, the Emperor reached his hand down upon us and graced me with this single bolt shell. And it turns out he just hasn't racked the slide, and he hasn't figured that out. Something like that would be awesome.
I've got 2 points to make about this, right?
Okay.
Number one is this gang would convert all of their auto guns, las guns, or whatever, to make them look like bolt guns.
Oh my god.
Right. So they would just be like boxy weapons, but clearly a las gun. But they're just like, oh no, this is my version of that bolt gun. But the bolt guns they purchase through the trading post, they're never as good as that Astartes bolt pistol.
Yes.
So they're just like, that bolt pistol was the most amazing thing. And even just the look of it, the feel of it, everything. We're buying a bolter off the local trader. What was his name, Steve? Honest Cabs.
Honest Cabs.
They're buying that bolter, and they're like, I mean, it's good and it's functional and it's awesome, but it's just not quite that first bolt round we saw fired off. It's not quite the exact same.
So yeah.
That's my god. Just for the record, Honest Cabs loves these guys. He makes a kill on.
it goes into the fortress vault and sits there. And they're like, no, we'll eventually find the weapon we can use to reload the holy bolter.
Yes.
Like, that's cool. That's a cool campaign idea too, dude. Okay.
No longer the underhive of law keepers, it's the underhive of lawmakers.
Yeah, lawmakers. Steve, did you have anything you wanted to throw in there?
Yeah, no, mate. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it. We got to talk about the Vulcan Mega Bolter on a Bolter episode. I mean, you can't get anything better than that, man. It was great fun.
I mean, it's a bolt gun you can use to shoot down walls.
Yeah. But putting in the, the gunk ammo? that's awesome. Ammo. Yeah, awesome.
I will arbitrate a campaign, and I will allow you to purchase that. It will be a 1,000 credit item, and I'll give you a free Juve to fire it. Ballista skill 5+.
Give me the Orlok Juve, man.
Give me the Orlok Juve.
It wrote itself. So yeah. No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, pleasure as always, brother. And as we are like to do, we're going to finish the episode up with a quote. And this one here comes to us from the House of Iron. Yep. Just happened to find this gold-plated bolt gun lying on the ground. No idea what happened to its previous owner. The Escher symbol on it. Probably best you get rid of that before you get into a gunfight with one of them. And that's Ace Dumb of the Ash Gangs of House Orlok, trying to offload some stolen goods. And on that note, on behalf of the Lawkeeper team, I'd like to thank you for tuning in to this episode. and hope you enjoyed learning a little bit more about the galaxy-conquering powerhouse that is the Bolter. Until we next open the armory, make sure you keep adequate distance between you and your targets, as those shatter shells hurt like hell if you're too close. Please follow us on Instagram, and don't forget to follow and review us on your preferred podcast platform. Thanks.